Hi, everyone. Welcome to Domain Sherpin. Thank you for tuning in to the podcast with the best domain name and digital asset content in the world. Today's episode is a Domain Sherpin review titled Whatever It Takes, featuring Shane Miller and Drew. On today's show, we play the domain game featuring NXM.com, PermanentMoonbase.com, and BlockSend.com. Then we've got the NameJet and the Jet segment sponsored by NameJet. And we talk about some domains coming up for auction, including Fro.com, GlutenFree.com, Compliant.net, and Backlinks.org. We then also talk about Drew's investment in Amble, which is an EV startup, and their drive to get their ExactMatch.com domain, pun intended. We then get into a discussion around domain pricing and how to maximize domain value versus cash flow. Then we talk about the timing of price adjustments and whether price changes up or down can trigger sales. We also talk about the World Cup and all the excitement that is generating. All that and more is coming up on today's show. And remember, if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, you can also watch the video version at DomainSherpa.com and in our YouTube channel at DS.TV. You can also listen to the shows on Apple and Spotify and other podcast platforms as well. So please make sure to hit the like button and the subscribe button where you can and help Domain Sherpa grow the pie. We also integrate our shows with Skiv.com, which provide search functionality for the shows and transcripts as well. Now, on to our sponsors. Big shout out to Unstoppable Domains. Unstoppable is the ICANN accredited registrar, giving domainers powerful tools and the lowest pricing in the industry. Get $7.99.com back orders, expired auctions, and tech you can't get anywhere else like AI search, AI outbounding, and their new AI site builder. They're a one-stop shop for managing costs and boosting sales. And also, big shout out to DNX.com. DNX is the domain name intelligence platform featuring all-in-one search results from the top marketplaces, including GoDaddy, Cedo, and Atom. DNX is the most advanced way to find and acquire your domain name, so go to DNX.com today. Also, shout out to Appraise.net, instant AI-powered domain appraisals with retail price ranges and detailed justification for every name. Whether you're buying, selling, or building your portfolio, know what your domains are really worth. Beyond the range, each appraisal includes a breakdown of the domain's multicultural reach, strengths and weaknesses, and a market analysis covering the best use case, industry, and likely buyer profile. Get your first month for just $1 at Appraise.net/DomainSherpa. And also, big shout out to NameBio. Also, know what your domains are really worth before you buy or sell by using NameBio. It gives you searchable access to more than $3 billion in historical domain sales so you can find comps, spot trends, and make smarter decisions. If you buy or sell domains, namebio.com is where you check the comps. Last but not least, big shout out to our own business, Media Options, the number one domain brokerage in the world. Find out more at mediaoptions.com, or you can also sign up for our newsletter for the best domain opportunities available in the market every week, and also featuring key insights and other helpful information related to branding, naming, and of course, domain investing. And then finally, we have NamesCon 2026 taking place November 11th and 12th in Miami. NamesCon brings together domain investors, registrars, registries, digital entrepreneurs to explore the technologies and trends reshaping the online world. So go to namescon.com and get more information and to register right away. With all that, it's now time to get into this episode of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. What's up, Sherpa Network? Thank you for tuning in today. My name is Jonathan Tenenbaum, a.k.a. JT, a.k.a. J-On, a.k.a. Sherpa Winfrey, and I'm the host and producer of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Today's show is a Domain Sherpa review where we get into the minds of successful domain investors using real examples so we can learn strategies and tactics to become more successful domain name investors ourselves. These are the experts, the OGs, the best in the biz, my homies, and very, very excited to be here today. There are four segments to a Domain Sherpa review. We've got the grand opening. That's where I intro the Sherpas, see what's going on with them, talk about some related things, some unrelated things, do a few AKAs. Then we get into the domain game. That's where we hear about what the Sherpas recently bought or sold. Everybody guesses on the price. We keep score. We get a winner. And then somehow, some way, someday, winners will get some swag, you know what I'm saying? Maybe a Sherpa Island hoodie. Shout out to Jen Sale. Then we got NameJet Gonna Jet, where we review a list of domains coming up for auction on NameJet, see what the Sherpas like and what they don't like. And then last but not least, we'll get into grand closing, where we'll discuss anything we haven't covered already, what's going on in the domain space, looking at the market trends and current events, and allowing our co-hosts to mention or promote anything they want to talk about that we've not already discussed, or maybe something that we have already discussed. We'll see. So let's go ahead and introduce the Sherpas. Over to my left, we got my boy, Andrew Rosner, a.k.a. Morpheus, a.k.a. the Dirk Diggler of Digital Assets, a.k.a. Bob Lee Swagger, the Sniper, a.k.a. Drew. Drew got what I need, a.k.a. every Rosner has its thorn. Never going to give Drew up. Get Rick Rolled. Raybeard, the Domain Pirate. What's going on, man? How are you?
I am good. I am very grateful that school is over and I'm not waking up at 6 a.m. anymore.
Nice.
I had a phenomenal weekend celebrating the 10-year anniversary of San Lorenzo de Borgal. The property where we've almost finished building our new farmhouse. And it was a really special time with amazing people. And also got to check out the prototype of the new Amble vehicle that just launched last week. It's been under wraps for a few years now. We were early investor and took a decent chunk of the company in the early days. A lot of doubters, a lot of haters telling us, well, this is sort of a category that doesn't exist and it's not needed. But the reality is that the amazing team over at Amble, driveamble.com, brought it to life, and it has had an amazing reception. So very proud, very excited about that. I unfortunately will not get mine until 2028, but, I am, super pumped that there's been enormous demand from hospitality, which is why I won't get mine until 2028. But, we've got like literally all of the major top tier luxury hospitality companies, placing orders. Very large orders for these to replace their golf carts. You know, in hindsight, I feel like it's like obvious. Like, you know, you once you see this thing, you're like, yeah, why would some hotel charging $5,000 a night drive you around in a piece of shit golf cart when there's this, which is, you know, yeah, more expensive, but modestly more, not much more. It's, I think they're like 15% more than the average, you know, golf cart. So
high-end golf cart.
Yeah, high-end golf cart. This thing does, you know.
Golf cart on steroids.
The design is amazing. You know, my good friend Julian Honig was one of the top designers at Apple, retired, moved to Portugal, and he designed this. Our CEO, Adrian, was the founder of Cowboy Bikes. And anyways, just an amazing team. And it was just really cool to see this thing driving around the farm. And so it was fun. It was fun. It was a big, big eventful weekend.
All right.
And I'm tired. I think I drank more in 2 days than I have in 6 months. And I got basically zero sleep.
Not a bad way to roll, you know, summertime, which is all good. And you'll be doing some traveling for the summer. Oh, let me go through the, you know, we can talk about some summer plans for everybody. And let's get through the intros. All right. Below Drew, we got the one and only Andrew Miller, a.k.a. Miller Time, a.k.a. Mr. ATM, the cash machine, a.k.a. Ace Rothstein, a.k.a. Bill Belichick from the Patriots era, not the Carolina Bill Belichick, a.k.a. the Miller Whale, a.k.a. Jack and Jill went up that hill, each went up. Buck and a quarter. Jill came down with 250. Hey, how you doing?
I am good, man. I am not as good as the farmhouse celebration I followed on Instagram from Drew, but I was just got back from actually a month in Sag Harbor and rented a house in the Hamptons so I could chill out in a cool town and see my kids on the weekends and work from there and back to reality here in 105 degree heat wave. Incoming this weekend for July 4th here in Boston, which is not conducive to golf, but good, man. I'm excited to really excited to hit the World Cup quarterfinals next Thursday here in Boston. Hoping for a Morocco France game. That would be what seems to be on tap to be the most exciting for us. And I am not a grew up as a fan and playing, you know, everything but soccer, football, squash, baseball, basketball. But I am mesmerized by what's going on with this World Cup and both on the field as a fan in the country, as I think I've written about, the spirit. I mean, there are people when the Scotland Tartan Army of Scotland, the Scotland fans were in Boston, and you can kind of see this on social media. It did something to this city that I've never seen. So it's, I was in Sac Harbor, but I watched it from afar and heard about it from friends. And so pretty cool times. And hopefully it will be a busy July, but you know, July is always July.
July is July, man. Nah, I get it. And yeah, the World Cup stuff is amazing. You know, just the spirit of the whole thing, the vibe, like watching these folks come over and, you know, and the fact that it's here in the U.S. And, you know, it's kind of neat because, you know, when the Olympics and when stuff happens in these big events and they're not here, you know, and then you're trying to catch up on tape delay and, you know, none of the events aren't in your time zone. And, you know, so not only do we get to like watch it in real time, like, which is a really nice aspect, but you know, it's right here in our neighborhoods and our cities, and like just seeing it like just be so, and the fact that the U.S. has a good team and they're in the mix, and you know,
we got to stay up till like 2 a.m. over here to watch some of the
I know last night Morocco was 5 a.m. right, like I will say that Drew will appreciate this, you know, Boston is conservatively living in times from the past as far as liquor laws and open containers. And so they, while I was away, I see they passed, you know, they created these areas where you can have open containers in the city. You know, I mean, as with someone who has kids who've lived in New Orleans, where open container is just the way of life, you know, it's the counter opposite. And now, you know, the World Cup has done so much to Boston that they have now created open container public drinking areas all over the city. And I'm like, wow, it took, you know, the Scots coming here to finish all our beer to do that. And I feel like it's progressed the city like 100 years.
Yeah, that's really awesome.
In 2 weeks.
Well, you just see how crazy it is with some of this stuff. And, you know, for me, I don't know if I told this story on the last Sherpa, but we were in Dallas, Texas for a flag football tournament, actually, for one of my kids. And we went and did the Six Flags, and we were up on the tallest roller coaster that they have in the place. And so you could oversee the Arlington Stadium where the Rangers play. And it was the Dutch were playing the Japanese team. In the Cowboy Stadium, but I guess the Dutch have a tradition where they gather somewhere and then they march. They call it like the Orange Walk, and they march like thousands of people in the brightest orange shit you've ever seen. And like when
through
we went
Times
on top,
Square,
so we're 300 feet in the air and get this panoramic view for a couple of seconds of like this sea of orange people, you know what I mean, that are just
at least
like,
Six Flags didn't leave you stuck up there because they're getting in the habit of that the last couple.
Oh, I mean, you see where they like they had one where these kids were like stuck, like
I know, hanging
and
out,
and they had to go up in a crane
hanging out of the ride.
I'm like, nah, dude, no I know, it's nah. Like it's my nightmare, but it was so cool to see that from like that vantage point and kind of encapsulated just the spirit that's happening everywhere. And you know, and it's really, really
yeah. There's no sport with emotion like this. Like, this is definitely the biggest sporting event in the world. Not even counting viewers and all that, but just the pure emotion of every fan base that carries with them. I was really fortunate. The last World Cup, this is how old I am. I got to go. My friend was in charge of tickets for the World Cup, so I got to sit in at Soldier Field for every game. They have a politician or special front row seats, and whoever doesn't show up, I feel the seat. So I got to sit at every game in the front row with the best of everything. And the game is just part of it. The emotion being around the fans, there's just nothing like it. Like, it's nothing. And then they come to America and they have nothing but nice things to say for the most part, right? Like, you're seeing it on social media, but in general, they're coming here and just saying, this country is pretty nice. You got a lot of shit here. You got like tons of food. You don't have to wait in line, air conditioning in every place you go. Like, I think it's been positive. There's been nothing we've had other than maybe the Olympics that's been this positive for our country. It's just amazing.
Well, you know what it is? It's helping people recognize even some of these, like, as they're seeing with like the football stadiums in the SEC.
Yeah, yeah,
like, they're like, holy, like, you know, and they're like, this is amazing.
I mean, even Mexico stadiums, like, hold my beer, look at the mountains in the back.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Oh, dude, that's, yeah, it's really pretty amazing.
I thought it was fake. I thought it was AI for the first couple of times. I'm like, no, that's legit.
Oh, the mountains behind, like, in the, yeah. like, the
last night, that was nuts.
Oh, right.
Yeah, Monterey. It's really, really something. It's special. You know, it kind of makes you realize, too. It's like, get out of your house and go, well, you already, I mean, everybody on this call, like on the show.
Yeah, we're very fortunate to be able to go and participate in those.
You know,
those,
seen a lot.
I mean, I'm going to say the Knicks-Boston series when I took my daughter. I'm not saying it's World Cup, but the emotion of that game is about as good a game as you get. Like,
yeah, no. Well, you
know, World Cup is right here in Portugal. So
I'll be there too. I'm going to be staying at the ranch driving my Amble or whatever.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
We're going to start building the stadium at the ranch now.
I'm ready. I've already booked it.
Shane, we played soccer in college. You were.
Yeah. So I was fortunate to play in Europe in 1984 and 85 for a U.S. team. So we played in Germany and France, and we were the under 16 team. Best experience of my life. I mean, they put us on the cinder fields because American soccer at the time, we're a little better now, but very aggressive on the ground kind of play, like a lot of slide tackling. And so they tried to keep us under control by putting us on really bad fields. We had to stay up, but amazing time. Really learned the game, the culture, the passion. Every time you exchange flags with the other teams of the country. And I mean, I grew up, I haven't been watching soccer for 20 years because I just felt like you guys have played sports at some level where you play it so aggressively, so long every day of your life. And then you watch others play. You just can't watch it because you want to be in there. It makes you upset. It makes you feel like you're missing out and you aged out. And the reality is now I'm so old, I know I can't play and I can enjoy
it. Yeah,
the
so you can just
and
enjoy
the,
it.
And my peers are the coaches. Like all the guys my age that were playing with me are now coaches of these teams, right? Like it's just crazy.
You know, and there's always this wave when the World Cup comes around and, you know, and there's always this, you know, trying to get, you know, the U.S. to be competitive, right? And we have a competitive team now. We got some players that play in the Premier League and, you know, and you know, it's we're
we
still
do?
A few levels below the good teams.
Who's that?
Oh, like Pulisic and
he's in the Premier League.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he plays for Chelsea, doesn't he?
Well, the reality, what you're trying to say is our best athletes generally don't go to soccer, right? They generally go to the higher paying basketball.
Right. Imagine Tyreek Hill on a soccer field if he played since he was a little kid. Like, seriously. Like,
yeah, but like Freeman, you know, Antonio Freeman's son could have played football, no doubt, but he chose soccer. So, like, that's what it's going to take is the pay of the, and it's going to be the Premier League or whatever league, has to match similar to what they can make as athletes. It's hard to match $50 million a year in basketball, right? Like, but soccer can. So, yeah, we'll get there.
So, So Pulisic was on Chelsea. He's now on AC Milan. You got one guy who plays for Leeds, one guy who plays for Crystal Palace, Fulham, one guy who plays for Fulham, one guy who plays for Bournemouth.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, so again, the point is that little by little, they're making headway, right? And, you know, and I think that it's just, you know, and it's getting to the point too, well, you talk about if our best athletes played soccer and stuff like that. And I don't know if you just said this while I was Googling it, but Antonio Freeman's kid, right? Who was, while I was Googling to try to correct Miller, because he said I was wrong and I knew I wasn't.
So he didn't play for, no, I mean, I don't believe he ever really played for Chelsea. I mean, he's on the team.
I don't know what else.
Whether he starts or not, but the point's still the same. They're starting to make their way into the Premier League and get some points.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, you start to see that kind of, and, you know, and we've got some, like, you know, you talk about the youth leagues and stuff. So my younger son has a buddy who's, like, a really good player. You know, and these kids are 14, right? So they're, like, U14. And, you know, but, you know, they were, like, he was staying at the house the other night, and they're like, so how good are you? He's like, Google me, bro. You know, and it's like... it's just kind of funny when you got kids that are like, you know, at the young age that are really starting to compete at a very high level that, you know, will continue to just sort of, you know, build and flow into, like, you know, what will hopefully be the U.S. being competitive. But look at the games last night. I mean, you had plenty of upsets already, you know, Paraguay winning and Morocco winning and, you know.
And teams that America had no problem with, you know, like, so.
But we shall see.
Morocco's good, man. Anyway, I stand corrected. You are correct about Chelsea. So we can edit that and get that off the record, Billy.
But
Billy, cut that part out.
Billy, cut
it. It's wild because, I mean, boy, you know, look, it's also, if you're Antonio Freeman and you want your kid playing with all, everything going on, would you rather have your kid out there playing soccer?
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Or, I mean,
do you want him to get early on ALS?
I mean, yesterday was a pretty sad day in the scheme of NFL news. So with in regards to you know, health and ALS. So, you know, you got 39-year-olds who suddenly, dads of three who suddenly, you know, have 4 months with ALS if they're lucky, and, you know, freaking frightening shit. So,
It is, man. Health is just crazy in general. That's why it's like health is wealth. You know what I mean? So anyway, but let's keep it moving because we're still in the intros, but, you know, it's tomorrow night because we're recording on Tuesday. So it'll actually be, we'll be airing the show after the game, but hopefully US pulls out the win against Bosnia and keeps it moving. And, they got a pretty tough road if they, but you know, you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. So, we'll see. All right. So last but certainly not least, below me, we got the one and only Shane Coulter, a.k.a. Sugar Shane, a.k.a. Honey Shane, a.k.a. Soccer Shane, a.k.a. Micro, a.k.a. Blame It on a Shane, the Cultivator, Blue Oyster Culture, the Culture Personality, the Culture Club, doing it for the culture. What's going on, man?
I'm good. I was telling you guys earlier, I love coming to the mountains in the summer because it's so much cooler, highs in the 70s. But this year, Mother Nature threw a little twist in it, and the fires are just that... Lack of snow over the winter in Colorado out west has just turned everything into a tinderbox. So I don't know how they
can change things.
Yeah, you see it on TV. I'm watching out my window. I'm watching the helicopters drop in the lake and pull the water out. One, I'm fascinated with the men and women that participate. Like, I know we say thoughts and prayers and all that stuff, but man, there's literally people out there in the fire, like chopping down trees and flying helicopters through the mountains, and it's crazy. I don't know how they stop any of that. But again, I don't worry about my house or my possessions. I honestly do. I'm just watching these people work. It's so scary what they're doing. I think they lost three people the other day in one of the fires. They got in their blankets and they still burnt up. So, Yeah. I don't know if you've ever seen that. When a fire switches on them, they dig a hole, cover themselves in this fire blanket and let it burn over them.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Can you imagine the intensity of the heat under there, though?
Yeah. I mean, we talk about the things we do are tough, and man, you, until you met a fireman, fire person, you don't know.
That's just a different animal.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, like, you see him going.
Nothing on this earth more scary than fire. Nothing.
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
And it's uncontrollable. Like, again, you know, you hear the thing, don't worry about things you can't control. That's one of the things you kind of worry about that you can't control because it is so aggressive and fast. But I mean, that's just Mother Nature. It's its way of doing things. It burns it down and rebuilds. And if you're going to build a house in the middle of the woods, that's the thing you take. Like, that's the repercussion. Do you live along the ocean? Deal with the ocean. Live in the woods, you deal with the fires.
Unless, of course, you're in Malibu and you're dealing with the ocean and the fire.
Yeah, exactly. That's a very good point. Man. Like, that's a very, very solid point. Yeah. You know what you're getting into, but it doesn't make it easier. And I will say it smells like camp. You know, I remember when you had fires that you go to camp. That's what it smells like every day here. Like, every time I'm like, are we going swimming at the lake, Pa?
But it doesn't have the smog probably trapped like LA does. Or
No. I mean, I don't want to say a forest fire is a nice smell, but it is kind of a nice,
a good smell, yeah.
Piney, fresh.
Yeah, like I said, it's campfire, man. I mean,
it is a campfire. That's what a campfire is. Smoke's going the other way, so I don't really, I mean, it smells smoky, but anyway, and I got to go out over there and welcome the AD and DSAD. We've been out for a couple runs, so it's nice to see friends here in the mountains.
Yeah, so, you guys doing those long, crazy.
Yeah, it's just been fun. It's good to spend time together with people that share your interest and everything, and we're going to buy a house here. That's the next, like, that's our move, is we're going to move from Illinois and
move like,
out west. Move. Like, it's just a matter of time. Illinois, I loved Illinois, it's great, but I don't grow trees anymore. So yeah, I sell domains for a living. I don't need to stay in the black earth.
Yeah. Okay. All right, man. Well, good stuff. All right. Well, guys, welcome. All that good stuff. Oh, and Drew, so it's driveamble.com or the
driveamble.com. And for all you domainers out there, we have spent the last several years discussing amble.com with the current owners. Eventually, I'm confident a deal will happen, but not today.
Okay, that's interesting. You know, so
looking up.
It's the next best. It's the next best anyway.
Yeah.
Amble Resorts, it looks like, is who has amble.com.
It's funny. It's actually a guy that owns, their group owns a hotel in Panama that I know. I stayed there. And you know, we had connected early on about it and there could have been a deal, but we balked because it was, you know, this was very early days.
I will say I smell some barter.
That's what I'm trying for. I'm trying, you know, he's in the hospital.
You got some ambles, your resorts, you know,
that's it. Who doesn't want to,
especially when the name of the resort is Amble and it's already pre-labeled for him.
Right. It's like,
we'll market you guys on our, you know, there's, yeah, you know,
100%.
I mean, custom.
So, anyway, we'll see. We'll see how it all plays
especially
out.
Especially if the demand is so high, you can't get them until 2028. Tell them they'll get them just like that Iberico ham. You know what I'm saying? They'll put the Ambles right on property of all their resorts.
Yeah.
Give them a bag of cash and, you know, make it happen, man. You know, Amble Resorts is a very good domain as well. So.
Yeah, true.
We get to throw that in there as well. We'll give you Amble Resorts. We'll give you a bunch of Ambles and cash. Let's
isn't that
go.
The fun of? Isn't that the fun of negotiation? Like where it goes, it often, you know, goes way past the name. And I'll throw in a flock of chickens.
Yeah,
like yeah. It's so funny.
World Cup tickets. Them. You know what I mean? Let's
yeah.
go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good stuff. Good stuff. All right. Well, let's keep it moving. Let's get into the domain game. Let's talk about what some buys and some sells. Drew, let's start with you, since you're the to my left, and you got a buy or a sell.
I'm gonna go with. I had one lined up. Hold up. What was it?
Somebody was making fun of this the other day on X.
Okay, we're gonna go with a little threeletter.com.
Okay,
that wasn't actually the one I was gonna go with, but this one landed in my account today. So,
well, real quick, but Shane, what were you saying? What were
On X? They were saying during this period they'll say, "And Drew, do you have a name?" And Drew will go, "Oh,
exactly."
And after 15 years, Drew hasn't figured out he needs to be prepared.
Exactly, he doesn't know how the domain game works.
What is it though? Hey. Can you say what it was?
No, not
what?
Yet.
The three letter?
Threeletter.com. Do you
All right. Well, hold up. You want to go with the threeletter.com or you want to go with thekeys.com? That's the other one.
You can do the key. I know what the keys.
Well, you're going to need a
tiebreaker. You don't know, JT, because I told you was the asking price, which I guess gives you a little bit of inside information.
Yeah, I don't mind. I'll sit out the first round to keep it fair since I don't get the, you know, since
three
I don't
letter
know.
Can
right,
always
let's
be
go
the
with
the
three letter, then it's just clean. Okay.
All
right. NXM.com. NXM.com.
And is it a buy or a sell?
This is a buy.
Okay. Gotta get my glasses on for this roll, unfortunately.
NXM.com.
And that's a buy, okay.
All right.
Hold on, let me adjust this. Hold on, I got new ideas. All right,
ready? 3, 2, 1. All right, so Miller's at 26,675. I'm at 50,000, and Shane's at 95,000.
Miller nailed it.
What?
Nailed it.
That's
like,
that's a great price.
Well, you're over by $675.
Damn.
All right, that's good enough. I'm allowed to be over. It's not the prices, right?
Yeah.
No, you get the point.
26,000 on the button. All in. And I like it. I think it was a good buy.
It's a great buy.
Yeah. If anybody else has those, send them my way too, dude. I'll like that all day. Yeah. Definitely. The X's are, they're sneaky good because it moves it from an acronym to a brand.
Yeah. I've always said that, you know, a threeletter.com that ends in X is more like a two letter, you know, yeah. I don't mind it on the front either, but I love it on the back. In the middle, it's a little trickier, but you know, in certain cases it's phenomenal. I mean, it's like, because the X in the middle means and, the X in the middle means with, the X in the middle means transition or transfer. You know, it's got so many meanings that X is just simply the most versatile letter in the alphabet.
Yeah, it means across. A lot of people use it for a cross.
A cross. It could mean by, like north by northwest.
That's it.
I, I love them. Like,
I sold FTX.
What did you sell? FTX?
FD.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, FDX, like FedEx.
Yeah.
You sell it to FedEx?
I did.
Nice.
A couple of years ago, by like big number. You know?
Yeah.
Well, that's considering that's their
NDA, but big number, like, you know.
Yeah. Well, you won't be, yeah.
Lucky sevens, you know? but it was, yeah, I mean, X at the back, right? Like,
you said. Yeah, that's great. I mean,
yeah.
X good stuff. Middle, all right, cool. Well, like, Miller gets anyway. The point, and he gets
like getting in the front. Love it in the back.
Party in the front, business in the front, yeah. Party in the back.
That's not the saying, but sure.
I don't know. It is now. Might be the name of the show.
Whatever. If I say it, it'll have to get cut out anyway. So I'll just keep
it. What do you know? It's business in the front, party in the back. That's it, talking about a mullet. That's what you call a mullet. Business in the front, party in the back.
We say liquor in the front and then. Never mind.
Oh. That's the name of the look. I swear, literally 100 yards from my house is a little plaza, a very popular little plaza. And there's a bar. And it's a funky, really cool bar. It's owned by a friend. And in the back is like a poker room. And so it's literally called Liquor in the Front, Poker in the Back. Yeah. That's the name of it.
Yeah.
Oh man, inappropriate.
Yep, inappropriate. All in fun. Just a bumper sticker. Just a bumper sticker on an old Toyota Tercel. That's it.
That's it.
Yeah. All right. Well, good stuff. All right, Miller, you got the point, baby. Let's go. Plus, you got to talk about that nice little FDX deal. What else you got? What else you got for us, bro?
My turn. Am I up?
You're up.
You're up.
All right. Quick. I got to give a quick preface to this one because otherwise it would be too wacky. Drew will appreciate it, though. So you may, if you read my Sunday Thoughts this week, and I wrote about this, but so I got asked the, you know, broker to sale of the visitspace.com, right? So, you know, normally I don't usually do anything to words. I mean, I buy myself and sell myself, but not, you know, not from a broker standpoint. But, you know, the guy was really nice, and I'm like, all right. On the heels of SpaceX, I type it in. It's like, you know, Blue Origin, Virgin Galactic, but SpaceX buying keywords for like $350,000 to $500,000 trips to space down the road. But something's bothering me about this name. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I Google, I look at my email, and I'm like, holy shit, I sold the domain in 2011.
Okay, cool.
So I'm not even going near what I sold it for because it's horrifically embarrassing. Okay,
but that's your name you sold, not broker.
I owned the domain, and it was bothering me. I'm like, where have I heard this before? And I finally like dig into all my research and my emails and my like contracts and invoice. And there it is, 2011. I sold it. I bought it from Buy Domains a few years earlier, and I sold it not to this guy. I don't know. He didn't buy it from me. So I'm like, yeah, I'll definitely help you with this one. And so I don't know if this came out of my Sunday Thoughts or where this came from, but I have his domain, permanentmoonbase.com. And that domain sold Monday. Was that yesterday? Sold yesterday morning. Do not go to the website, please, because it will ruin the game, because it is still showing a listing in somewhere, Dan or After Nick, I don't know where. And it was actually sold above the price that it's offered for on GoDaddy right now. So they never even looked at it. But don't cheat and look at it because that would give it away. So permanent
moon base. I already got my number. Permanent moon base.
Sale yesterday morning. I haven't even tapped it. Ink is drying. It just came through out of nowhere. Boom.
Permanent
personal name. I owned it. I bought it when I bought Visit Space in 2008.
Permanent moon base. All right. What do we got, guys?
Ready?
All right. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Flip it.
Right. I need help with that, JT.
Oh, I'm 6,000. Shane's 14,995. And Drew's 15,369.
Man, I kind of
okay. So even closer to my 26,750 is off by what, 750 or something, 650, whatever I guess.
Yeah.
JT is only off by $100.
Oh.
Let's go.
And he's under.
That's funny. Okay.
6,100.
All right.
I was nice. Like, I was like, found money, man.
Oh, dude. I would agree.
Yeah, that's found money. Not as found money as my, what was my piece of shit that randomly sold for like $5,000?
Oh, man. That was last.
Groupbuy.me.
Yeah. Definitely not.
Groupbuy.me. Buy it now on Afternet for like $48.95. I mean, I'm telling you, I was happier about that sale than I was about like some of the seven-figure sales I made. Yeah. That was like groupbuy.me, $5,000. Hell yeah. Hell
what
yeah.
I don't know.
Bless you, whoever bought groupbuy.me. Let's go see.
What I don't know is like, I've had this domain for 18 years, and like suddenly I write in Sunday Thoughts about Visit Space and this random story that, you know, and suddenly Monday, that's Sunday, and Monday I sell permanent moonbase.com. Like, it seems awfully coincidental, but not weird.
But hey, no, that's a good sale. I mean, I'm sure you bought it for a couple $100 or something like that. Like, what'd you acquire?
I bought it for, as part of a $600-700 name purchase from Buy Domains that included some one word names like chosen.com and approvals.com.
Nice.
So, but the average cost of the names was $676. I can tell you that I remember specifically, but I do not remember, beyond that.
Well, still, even if
Visit Space was another one that I was certainly way before my time buying it, but I also sold it horrifically.
Is that George Verdugo that owns that?
Yeah.
How's he doing? Is he good?
He's good, man. And his granddaughter, he's such a good dude. And his granddaughter,
He's a wild dude.
He didn't buy it from me because I sold it in 2011 and he bought it like years later. But his granddaughter.
He's owned it for a grip, though. That guy, he's owned that name for a long ass time. I haven't seen George Verdugo in a long time. And he used to run around talking about Visit Space.
Anyway, his granddaughter, Wild, is like, just got, she's like a under 13 phenom, just got brought down to the U.S. from California to the Mexico national team under 13, like wild, like phenomenal. Like soccer player, like top in the world.
We're all talking soccer today, man. It's all.
Let me tell you something. George Verdugo is one of them dudes that is just, you completely underestimate. He's just such a kind and good dude, but he's got some wild ass stories, and you're like, man, you are full of shit. And then it turns out it's all true.
It's always true.
He's connected to just wild people, and he's just had wild experiences, and he knows crazy things, and he's just a ball of surprises. Shout out George Verdugo. Love you, brother.
By the way, as long as, like, you know, think about how many years we've done this, and I just, this name, the second he emailed me about it and asking me about it, I was like, something's bothering me about this name. Like, I'm not,
it's usually
not
the opposite, where every name they list, we go, I think I used to own that. That's literally every time.
I know. I'm not going to say, I just don't want to blow up anybody's spot. It's two of these, you know, it's George and another guy in the industry. It's extremely well known. And, you know, but the other guy, who is somebody, you know, I would argue one of the most just respected individuals in our industry. Among probably the top two or three, just absolute flawlessly respected. And he had this issue that he couldn't resolve. And he just was talking about it in like a random conversation that George was there. And George goes, oh, I got it solved for you. He's like, what are you talking about? And it has to do with Portugal, okay? Now, George is Mexican and he's in, you know, he's in the U.S., he's Mexican.
Yes.
It's like, right? And like, so he said, well, what do you have to do with Portugal? He's like, just don't worry about it. And George literally, with one phone call, had this shit handled. And this guy, I wish I could tell you the details, because it's like, I'll tell you off camera, but it's It's crazy. The fact that he got this done is just, it's like, what are you talking about? How's that work?
Are you in the CIA or something? Like,
huh?
No, you have friends that get things done. They're like, are you in the CIA or something? You have about, like, how do you get these done?
No, this has to do with Portugal. It's a wild thing.
Well, big shout out to George and a big shout out to me for getting the point. So,
you know, you get the point and
go. Let's keep this domain game.
Considering how cheap I sold it for, I'm looking for getting a second kick at the can here.
There we go.
Another shot at it.
Yeah, no, that's good. All right, Shane. T. Dot Shane.
All right, we got a tie.
Yeah, currently between Miller and myself, but Drew could get involved. Drew might be able to. If he gets a point here, then you're going to need a second name from you, Shane.
Okay. I'll do a sale then. I sold BlockSend, BlockSend.com.
Okay. BlockSend. All right. Let's go. I'm going to put my winning
blockchain
number.
Still around, right? I didn't think so, but it's.
It's BlockSend.com, right?
Yeah.
BlockSend.com. All right.
BlockSend.
Mm-hmm. Like, send you money through the blockchain.
BlockSend.
Okay.
BlockSend.
This is sale, right?
Sale.
All right. Ready? Boom.
Hold on. Whoa.
I already flipped it. Let's go, Miller. Come on, man.
Drew hasn't flipped yet.
All right.
All right. Go ahead. All right. Ooh, okay. So, Miller's at $3,965.
Yeah.
I'm at 5,000. Drew's at 34,369.
This fool's out here running 250 miles. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it should
get your weight up. Get your weight up.
I wish it was more like Drew's, but it's 98.98.
Yo, boom. Winner, chicken dinner. Let's go, boy. I think that's 2 weeks in a row for me. So,
I mean, I would have put it higher, but I paid 280 for it last year. I felt like I'd keep it at that number and try and move it. So.
All right, little domain game win for myself. You know, look, that's good win for you. What'd you buy?
I'm gonna throw a little thought project out there for y'all. And this is just the way I think about it, but I don't know if it's right. The funny thing about domains is it's basically impossible to A/B test. But in my mind, a name like a BlockSend. Now, if it's just some random made up, you know, purpleblock.com. Okay. I get it. Somewhere $5,000, $10,000, you know, like it's not an arbitrary thing. It's somebody's taking a moonshot. And if your price on purple block is too high, they might go to red block or blue block or green block. Right.
Yeah.
So, but BlockSend, it's like almost definitely going to be a blockchain payments company, right? Like that's like almost definitely what it will be. And if you're a blockchain payments company, you know, to pay 25 seems like kind of the floor. You know, it's like I don't think you're shaking a stick at that, right? And so, you know, this is the problem I have with domain pricing and trying to price our own portfolio. Is I get in there and it's like, you know, you try to price a lot of names, you try to find a system to do it, but the goddamn reality is that every name needs to be looked at individually. And a name like a BlockSend to me is like clearly going to be a payments company. And in that space, you know, I think 25K is table stakes. So I'm not trying to make you feel bad, though.
No.
You sold the name. You made a hell of a money. You made crazy.
Yeah, I got money in the bank account to do it again.
You can't be upset about 40X return. But my point is simply that it you know, I wish you could, you know, I wish we could know. I wish, you know, what was the upper limit on that? What was it? Does it change the math for that guy buying that name at $9,000 versus, you know, 25? And then if it was 25, you know, what about 50? Right? Like, where's the threshold? And I think it really, more than anything else, without obviously knowing who the buyer is and any funding information or growth, whatever, I think you can only look at the category. And I feel like, you know, payments, gaming, crypto, AI, you know, the things that are really trendy that are capturing enormous amounts of funding, VC funding. I don't know. I feel like, yeah, 25's got to be the floor on that. Just
no, and I agree. I'll do the counterpoint. There's, you know, if you're going to make a living in domain names and you're not selling big 6 and 7 figure names all the time, there's two
things. You
need cash flow.
Yep.
Because we're addicted domain buyers, right? Like, you want to keep buying domains. You want to keep the cash flow coming to keep investing. You need obviously some to live as well. And then there's your ones that you should get, call moonshot, but full value. And so for me, I don't know. Just like you said, Drew, you never really know what those numbers are. So you play around with them a little bit. But when I start getting into names that I've recently, now it doesn't matter what I paid. The value has nothing to do with what you paid for it. But at the same time, there's a couple names that I know I can liquidate and pick up 10 grand, 20 grand, 15 grand here and do two or three of those a month to keep the cash flow going. So that's kind of how I look at it. Do I leave? I think the most important, and I've said this on several blog posts and I probably said it here, 5% of your wins pays for everything. Your wins in life, 5% of your decisions are the ones that pay for all that. So on domains, that wasn't going to be one of the 5%. That was just to me. I was going to be 10, 15, 25. So
I agree.
I'm happy with the cash. I'll put it into another name. And then eventually I'll build up to that name that sells for 200 or 300. That's kind of my game plan. And I'm sticking with it, but I don't disagree with you at all. But I was having a bad spring and summer overall for those brandable type names. They just kept moving. So I adjusted some pricing. Had an incredible gym. Like, things finally moved. And that was the difference of moving them from 25 to 10.
Which is which is another little intellectual exercise that I find so interesting. I've been experimenting a little bit myself and had positive results. I am convinced that price changes
in general
are extremely effective at triggering sales in general. Now, what's interesting is what I found is that price increases were just as effective as price increases.
Because they come back and ask if they can have the old price sometime.
That's it. That's it. And they get scared. They go, you know what? So many variables in this game. It makes it very interesting. But again, you know, every asset's a snowflake, as this little snowflake over here likes to say. And so it is difficult. You can't A/B test. There's no way to know. There's, you know, every deal has a different buyer, a different seller, different dynamics, different variables, different timing. You know, even if it was the same domain at different times.
Unless you have an exit, you have an exit.
Beautiful snowflakes.
After somebody buys it, you have an exit interview. Before you go, I'd like to fill out this question.
You know what, JT? It'll be so interesting if we could do that. We should have those. We should do a segment called the exit interview where, you know, founders, you know, maybe some time has passed, maybe they're out, maybe they're no longer in it. That would be super, super useful info and very intriguing stories. Like, when you bought that domain for 500 grand, what would you have potentially paid? Like, what was the upper limit you would have paid?
Yeah. Right?
Were you thinking about, alternatives, you know?
This whole conversation to me is a dangerous rabbit hole.
Why?
Because it's like not that much different than anything else from a stock, you know.
Is very different than a stock.
Let me finish though. In the respect of like, it's okay. Like, it's okay to not be sell at the top or buy at the bottom, right? As long as you have your, you'll never win in any game trying to pick bottoms and tops.
Not as an individual, but what I'm referring to is more a structural understanding of domain pricing. You know?
Yeah. I mean, if a guy, sorry to interrupt you, Drew, if a guy came in and said, yeah, I actually saw the price increase and thought I better get on this, those kind of statements that are the ones you're looking for. Or once I saw reduced, I realized, okay, now this is in my wheelhouse and this is something I could easily move forward with because the pricing now is to, you know, that kind of sequencing over and over. If you were to know that from every domain you sell, would give you a little, but it is individual, right? One person's thoughts and attitudes towards purchasing doesn't reflect the entire.
Very, very anecdotal, tough to break that down into any kind of statistical sort of analysis.
But,
you know, but I think if you could find out, you know, or if you just see like based on timing of deals and, you know, sales happening within a window of price increase, decrease, price changes. I mean, there's probably something to be said for that, you know, and there is,
I think the price increase versus the decrease is fascinating too. Like, because decrease says to me, all right, I can hang in bid lower, wait longer. There's desperation. Something's going wrong. Increase to me says, you know, yeah, like I better, maybe I
get on your horse. Time is money.
On your horse. However, you know, that's, you know, how I was trained. By my, you know, from my training on Wall Street was, you know, always aim higher, ask for more. I do think, oops, my AirPod fell out. I do think there is a thing with, you know, there. I had this conversation the other day with my son, right, with Brett, with like, you know, and I don't want this to come across the wrong way, but maybe you've encountered this too, Drew. Mm-hmm. I wanted to come across humbly and educationally, but you know, sometimes when we're talking to someone about a domain for sale, let's say if we're brokering it, and you know, we talk a little bit, we give a little bit, they don't know us, and we give a background on who we are, and we reference some of the deals we've done, and let's just say they're 8-figure deals, okay, mm-hmm. publicly stated, you know, Chat and Rocket, and you know, these eight. I've recently seen a couple cases where, you know, maybe the domain is a $2 million domain. $1.5 million, where that actually has almost scared away a potential buyer of like, well, we're not, you know, if these are the examples, we're not in that stratosphere.
Yeah.
You know, and what if you're really, if you're, the deals you do are, you know, we're not a Fortune 100 company, we can't spend $15 million. Well, it's actually $1.5 million for this, but they don't. They see it quickly and they don't correlate to that. So I think there's something along that same, we're having this conversation, something along that same line is also like, I do think psychologically raising the price is the faster way to get movement, but I also think it's the faster way to potentially go too far, right? And overprice yourself to the point you make a move on. Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Yeah, again, to be fair, what I'm talking about was a very narrow subset of domains. So I took maybe 50 domains. I repriced them. Mostly I repriced them up. I would say on average, I probably repriced it 10 to 20%.
Yeah.
10, 15%. Most of them were 10, 15% up. And, but that was enough to, you know, trigger some enthusiasm. Now, I also took some, let's say if it was 50 names, it's probably around that, probably a bit more, maybe 15, 20 names. I lowered the price and the rest, I raised the price. I sold one name that I lowered the price and I sold three names that I raised the price. And that was over the course of less than a month. That was about a month ago that I did that. And I would say 3 weeks, we made those sales.
Do you think your price increases were noticed and by whom? And do you think there's some people who are following?
Well, okay. So I should specify the names, all of these names were names that had after Nick inquiries or offers either or over the last 60, 90 days.
Okay. So they were being tracked, you think?
Yeah.
Okay. Because otherwise, what's the point? Like, nobody would
actually,
know.
I don't even know. Does
but you don't know who
tell you? If you've submitted an inquiry or you've made an offer and the price changes, does AfterNick email them?
Not AfterNick. Adam does. Yeah, I think. I mean, I'm almost positive. Adam does. AfterNick, I don't think does. But
that's a lost opportunity.
Right. You would think like you want
how many lost opportunities are sitting on that
domain thing. You're looking at, the price just went up, the price just went down, right? You know, clearly makes, you know, I mean, if you're going to raise it, you want anyone who's looked at it to know you raised it, right? I mean, you're not going to go out telling on 50 names, everyone, you know, you're not going to go outbounding emailing these people to tell them you raised it.
That should be an automatic, that should be coding where anybody who made an inquiry should get a message. It's not too hard to code in.
Well, right. And then do you think it could have any impact on sort of the search results or anything where the maybe the interior, you know, the internal algorithm, you know, sees the price change and it puts it somewhere in
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I would say that's too coincidental. I think somehow it's being tracked. That's what I have to believe, it's being tracked somehow.
Another interesting one is I moved, like on my AI names, I got to a point where I didn't know what to put the pricing at because it was moving and changing so fast that I just changed them to make offer. And I started getting offers that were really close to the old buy it now price. Like, so I just let it go. The other thing that was interesting is that they wanted more terms. So let's say I had it on 2-year terms. As soon as I switched it over to make offer, the price came at the original offer, but then asked for 5-year terms, like longer terms. So it's like they felt constrained by the old buy it now and the terms. And once it was free, they felt more comfortable making an offer. One closed for way more than the buy it now. And the other ones were, you know, I want 5 years, no upfront payment, which I don't do in today's world of burn something and then default after a month. So,
yeah.
But one thing I'll go to the bank on that Drew's originally said, like everything I've ever learned about negotiating, selling, doing deals, like raising the price higher is going to lead to better outcomes than lowering the price. That is, well, in this asset class.
Definitely leads to more money.
I mean, you can lower the price in a negotiation privately in a conversation with someone, but I'm talking about from a public-facing standpoint.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you as a guy that retail products have priced over 200,000 products, you can never raise prices. You can always lower them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like if somebody comes in and exceeds a price, you're not getting more than that. So you better start high. And then,
look, I just permanent moon bases for sale on for $5,000 still on an Afternic or something. And I don't know how they bought it without seeing that, but
it never ceases to amaze me how you have something at Afternic or at Atom and they buy the more expensive one. And the lander was on the cheaper one. And yet that just shows the power of GoDaddy in that case, right? Like if they bought through an Afternic search or GoDaddy search and it was cheaper by just going to the site, GoDaddy still has a lot to lean on. So that happens all the time. Happens all the time.
But you think about like the homes too, right? Like, I mean, who wants to, you know, anytime I see a home for sale where the price reduction is, you know, this is our third price reduction. Like, it's just the initial reaction is what's wrong, right?
Yeah.
They can't sell it, right? Versus, you know, you don't see price increases on a home.
If you get Zillow right now, you're getting that notice freaking every 2 seconds. Like my emails, I started shutting off Zillow because of price reductions in homes. But that's a whole nother story.
Not in Sag Harbor, baby. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. No.
That's what I was looking at.
No, yeah, All right.
Well, let's keep it moving. So, I think the moral of the story is, always good to be kind of testing and what you can with and staying active with your names and the management of those and also that I'm the winner of today's domain game. You know what I'm saying, Billy? Come on, man, hit me up. Let's go, Billy.
Anyway, that all started with you saying the four should be $25,000 for all these kind of names, right?
Oh, I actually meant to ask you.
Not all, but...
Well, I was a little more specific than that.
Yeah, but not all domains. All of the type of domains we were talking about.
Well, any payment names. Payment names is a
payment
category.
Gambling, space, crypto, AI, hot categories. Hot categories.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. But Shane, what did you pay for BlockSend? And how long do you have it?
$280 last May, I think.
Okay. Oh, wow. So you paid less than $300 for it a year ago and just sold it for $6,000?
After commission, like $8,000.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. You said $998.
Yeah, $998.
My guess was $6,000 or something. But
you can't argue with those.
Same guess on my domain, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's part of what I thought. I was like, you know what? I was kind of hemming and hawing around like 7,500, that kind of thing. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to leave it. That was a winning number in the prior round. Real quick, on appraise.net, BlocksEnd is showing 51,000 is the appraise.net appraisal.
I'm glad they sponsor the show, but my gosh, if you want to feel good about your portfolio, just keep putting names in there. Jeez.
Oh, you know, some, I mean, look, permanent moon base, they said that one, 3,700. So,
we got an email today from Leo that said, something about they had done some new tuning. So you got engine 2.5 now.
2.5.
And
yeah.
I think it was specifically addressing the lower end of the market and being more exact on that.
Yeah. Well, we've said in the early, you know, sort of phases of appraise.net, and look, they're a sponsor, but we keep it real. We are not afraid to call out sponsors when we think they can be doing some things better or different.
You call
know,
balls and strikes over here.
Everybody knows that. Balls and strikes, baby. And, goal penalty kicks and you know, and goal kicks or something, you know, since we're trying to keep it on the soccer, it's a soccer thing. But the their pricing was definitely a bit more aspirational, I think. But you know, Leo's talked about this too. I mean, his is really also trying to pin down, you know, the true end user, like sort of top value for domain names, right? And so yeah, definitely aspirational in nature. But you know, as they're working through the different versions, they're, you know, fine tuning. And I'll tell you, even the change, you know, I got a report that showed, it was pretty neat actually, that said, hey, we just went from version, you know, 1 to 2 or 2 to 2.5. And, you know, this, it actually said that the, you know, your domains changed in value. Like it let me know what the difference was in the appraisals from the old model or the old one to the new one, which I thought was really, really cool that it called that out and did it. But more went up than went down actually with the new, you know, with the new model or the new engine. So, but yeah, permanent moon base, 3,700. Well, price of domains are going up in general. And like, I just appreciate the work they're putting into it. I mean, I think that there's some things that, you know, and domain appraisals are tough, you know? So I think it's, you know, it's not an easy nut to crack. And, every domain is like a snowflake, as you said, as when Drew called me a snowflake. Thanks. and, you know, but I think a lot of what they're doing is
pretty
cool.
I mean, you live in Florida. You're the whitest dude on here. Look at you.
Dude, I'd stay out of the sun, man. The sun will get you. You know what I'm saying?
You are a light being. Your body is literally.
Oh, no. I get sun, dude. I just don't like live
through the window.
You just don't absorb it.
I go
outside every day. Every day I go stand in the grass. I ground myself. I get sun in my face and my eyeballs. You know what I'm saying?
You don't do none of that.
I do all that, man. I eat the sun.
You don't.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yo, just what up? So, but I'm technically an Aquarius, so I'm really more water than sun. But, you know, in the pool, I'm like just living my life, man. I'm just living my life out here, you know? Anyway, so the last one on the list was nxm.com, which they have as $160,000 is the price that they've got, the end user price on that. So,
well, this is a good purchase, my friend.
So, goodbye.
Media Options is the industry's leading domain broker specializing in domain acquisitions, high value domain sales, and domain name consultation. As pioneers and thought leaders on the subject of the domain aftermarket and domain name value, plus through their clear domain acquisition service, Media Options offers startups and established corporations an unparalleled scope of high value domain options, providing access to domain names and curation technologies not available elsewhere. Media Options believes in the power of a great domain name and is dedicated to helping you obtain yours. Call or email today to put a domain to work for you.
So anyway, all right, look, I won the domain game so we can keep it moving. I give myself some more swag, but let's talk about the NameJet and the Jet domains and see. Like, we got a list of domains coming up for auction on NameJet. Let's see what the Sherpas like, what they don't like. Go to the domain Sherpa.com show page, go to the show notes, download the Excel spreadsheet. We've got the appraise.net appraisals. Speaking of appraise.net, we've got the Estabot appraisals. We've got how many back orders as when we put the list together, the age of the domains, the minimum bid. Hopefully it's helpful information, not financial advice, but along with a few other data points that will hopefully be helpful for your auction adventure. So let's go ahead and Miller, let's start with you since Drew led off with the domain game, and talk to me about what names you like or don't like.
I like fro.com. I mean, three letter frozen yogurt. I have a buddy whose nickname is Fro.
Okay. Or if you got, you know, boy, Fro got to buy the name. Frozone.
He can afford it, but he won't if he sees this. You know, I haven't done any looking into it whatsoever as far as, you know, if there's any kind of companies out there using it. But I mean, it's kind of It jumped out at me as a cool three letter. Now I thought the appraisal, what appraisal was that on the sheet you sent over? Was that estimate or was that appraised net?
They're actually all in there. So you've got the estimate appraisal is over five, and then the appraise.net on the high end was 1.15.
Right. I saw that. That seemed a little aggressive to me for that one, but not out of the question, I suppose. Anyway, I thought it was a good cool three letter, you know, kind of a brandable potential. Like, I mean, you know, I don't think ice cream and frozen yogurt and, you know, type of things have traditionally done well in the domain world, but I thought it was, you know, you have some companies like Froyo Land or whatever they're called, or it's a pretty common term for that. The other two I can't read my own writing, but I thought topfinance.com was kind of cool. You know, I think anything finance is, you know, top finance, leading finance. I mean, that's, I thought it was a nice little two letter.
Good word.
Good word. Yeah. I mean, top finance, like everyone wants to be the top of it.
No, but you said two letter.
Two words. Sorry.
Yeah.
Two word. I like top anything, right? I like first, top, leading, best. Yeah. You know, who,
what about Top Golf?
Top Golf. I love Top Golf.
That's a sad story.
Wow. What's sad about Top Golf?
They got divorced from Callaway.
It was an
ugly divorce.
And he went and formed a new company, right?
Yeah. But, you know, look, Callaway Golf needs to step it up. It's not a very particularly well-run company. They're not even stepping up and buying Callaway.com from us right now. You know,
I knew there was some kind of angle. Like, I was like, how in the world?
How much is he going to talk about this? How much is he going to disclose? But they don't have the right vision.
It's a shockingly poor management decision, in my opinion.
Yeah.
To not buy it?
Yeah.
Are they on? Do you know?
That's the point. That's the worst part. They're on, I don't know, literally they have something like 15, 20 different domains across a variety, and it's just a mess. Imagine you're spreading your marketing budget, you're spreading your SEO, you're spreading your branding across like Callaway Golf, Callaway
Bags.
What fashion, Callaway. It's just a mess. It's a mess. The fact that I can't even recite it and I actually kind of like studied this tells you how discombobulated the branding is at this point.
I think they're Boston based, aren't they?
No, I think
they're not owned by the parent company there. Who's the parent company? Callaway. They're Boston.
It's Callaway.
The parent. Okay.
Yeah. Callaway is publicly traded. They had merged with Top Golf.
Who led the merger? The Callaway side or the Top Golf? Do you know? Like, who was a bigger brand?
Callaway absorbed Top Golf. And now Top Golf has been spun off. Callaway Golf should now be in a position to really double down and refocus and, you know, should be in an upward trajectory, but they gotta consolidate.
That's crazy. Akushnet's the company.
It's crazy.
Akushnet's the company I was thinking of. They own they're Boston. They own Titleist and FootJoy
Yeah.
But oh my God, like
maybe they want to buy Callaway.com.
Yeah.
That's funny. But yeah, there's Callaway Golf, Callaway pre-owned. You know, they've got a couple others like clothing that's broken down into different brands, and you know they're pretty, you know, fragmented from a brand standpoint.
Fragmented is the word I was looking for.
It would totally make sense for them to, you know, to get their name, you know, their one word brand.com.
I think if I asked my 9-year-old, like, he would also agree, like, oh yeah, of course they should own that. Like, that's just such an obvious.
He's not biased though.
But we all know we have the headbanging situations like this, right?
Yeah.
And we still have them and they're still here. And no matter how stupid and obvious it seems, you know, you can't, unfortunately, you know, pile drive the CEO into the ground and make him do it.
No, listen, it's his company. He's running it. He's been the CEO for a very long time. The chief marketing officer's been there for a very long time. You know, they basically, those two basically run the show. And they've got their own reasons. You know, they're probably not, I would argue, clearly not super digitally focused or digital savvy. They're golf focused and golf savvy. And, but I think, you know, change at some point, change is necessary. And this is a positive change. And I think that it's actually a real turning point for the company where it's like you've divested of Topgolf. Now double down, refocus. And that starts with your brand.
Yeah. I mean, is it a price issue?
Oh, it's always a price issue.
For the price.
Right.
They don't even know the price.
Crazy.
And quite frankly, in my opinion, it is priced way below where it should be or could be if, you know, there was a buyer that was, let's say, more eager.
Yeah, I mean, that shows that they don't care, right? If the fact that they've never even inquired.
No, forget about inquired. They just like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
They're just not demonstrating any interest whatsoever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, some marketing company or some people market better than others. You know,
that's it.
It's true.
Yeah.
So we shall see. But all right. Well, what else, Miller? Because we got on that.
Gluten free is the other one that's obviously, you know. I mean, look, some of these keyword domains, you know, you're gonna have to figure out the world with AI. But gluten free is, you know, obviously a massive, massive problem area, or you know, not even problem area, a addressable market. And
well, it isn't. Oh.
It's a real problem for some people, and it should be more of an issue for everyone else.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. And it's don't come looking for my pasta, Shane. Okay, I've killed people for less than that.
I'll tell you, I went gluten free. Just everybody told me going gluten free made you feel better. I'm looking for feel better. So I went gluten-free for 6 months. The best I've ever felt in my life, the least phlegmy I've ever felt. Everything was amazing. But if I ate one more corn pasta, I was going to kill somebody.
So here's the deal. This is the thing. I did the same thing. I had this autoimmune thing, blah, blah, blah. I got a whole team assembled. They said, look, you're going to be on this AIP diet. I was basically, a protein.
A whole food.
But so basically, I couldn't even eat all protein. It was like very narrow, super focused, no oils, no nothing. But anyway, so I had to eliminate all carbs completely. I couldn't even eat vegetables.
Oh, wow.
I think the only vegetable I could eat was broccoli.
Jeez.
And I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I all my inflammation was gone. It was like, you know, I felt great, except for the fact that I basically want to kill myself because I wanted to do was eat pasta every day.
It turned everything into Mexican food.
Bowl of pasta.
Everything became Mexican because it was all corn-based, like corn-based noodles, corn-based.
Well, see, I couldn't even eat corn.
Oh, you couldn't even eat corn.
I wasn't even eating gluten-free pasta. I was eating chicken soup. Mm-hmm. I was eating chicken and onion. I couldn't even put the carrots in my soup. So it was just chicken and onions with some herbs, you know,
herbs,
salt, a little pepper.
I got to tell you, now, if you have
I couldn't even put black pepper. It was just salt, chicken, onion.
Shout out to my wife, who's an amazing chef, but like she can make me zoodles or spaghetti squash pasta that with homemade tomato sauce. And like it's not 100%, but it's 80-90% tastes as good as the real deal.
Yeah. I mean,
keep telling yourself that.
It does. Really does.
You just find yourself eating the same things more often. I don't know.
Gluten free. Conclusion, I'd rather die than stop eating pasta. I can give up the bread. You know what I mean? Like, I enjoy bread. I really like bread, but I don't need it.
Well, here's the beauty of it
I literally would rather die than not eat pasta.
What's your special pasta
in my life that I enjoy so much?
Well, what's your special pasta that you're talking about?
Me?
Yeah. You said don't come from my pasta. Or were you just saying don't take my pasta?
I got all my pasta special. All of it.
It's an $8 billion market, though, back to gluten-free. It's an $8 billion market growing, and it's the category domain name for it. Someone that has to know what the hell they're going to do with it or they're not going to buy it.
Yeah.
But, you know, God, there must be, there's a lot of opportunity. I mean, yeah, obviously, you know, it's easier said than done, but it's a specialty, huge market, and it's the category term for it. So.
Yeah, no, I'm with it, man. All right, well, great domain. Stuff. All right, well, let's keep it moving. And Shane, I've actually stopped eating a decent amount of gluten just because it's like, I think it's stuff.
That's what I was going to say. The beauty of it is we're not celiacs, so we can just reduce it and be fine. Like, that's what I learned from it is just eat less. Like,
but I've started to ask for like the gluten-free menus just to see like what it looks like and the differences. And in some cases, it's like, all right, just no croutons on your salad, right? In other cases, it's like, oh, you can have our special, like house special chicken dish that's like what we're known for. But we have to take off all the sauce. There's no pasta. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you're like, you get this version of it that's like, you might as well be ordering from the kitchen.
We give you a spoon dipped in it and that's it.
And smell it. You smell the sauce while you eat the thing without it type of thing, you know? Anyway, all good. So, our boy Matt Overman is big. He's got a big gluten allergy. So he's always been gluten-free. So he's always like the cross-contaminated, you know, because that's the other thing.
That's why he's so skinny.
Cross-contamination and all this other kind of stuff. I'm like, I don't understand. Like, so you mean like it can't even have been in the presence of gluten? You know, they're like, well, if the fryer was used previously in a past life, like, or like if the chef one time made a gluten like full dish, you know, it gets a little crazy. I'm like, so it can't have.
But it is legit. Like, so you know, we have a close family friend who has a very, you know, serious
gluten allergy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And literally like she eats something that just made contact with gluten and she suffers for days.
I know, it's really crazy. That's what I'm saying. Like for the people who have full-on gluten allergies, I have a lot of like sort of
just thank Monsanto. Just thank Monsanto.
You know, just for all the
big win in the Roundup case anyway.
Dude, talk about, I mean, come on. That shit's just
I mean, crazy. That's literally like, I'm sorry. That's just
Shame.
Taken out for the woodshed.
Liability out the window. Yes.
No liza. Yeah. For anybody who's, you know, hey.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm just
no responsibility, no accountability. It's all good. Fine, yeah, right. I mean, hey, I'm as long as they put the money in the right politician's pocket, it's all good. It doesn't matter anymore. Nothing matters.
Nope. Anyway. As long as my corn is double eared and high yield.
That's it, man. Biggest corn you've ever seen. It's the size of your arm. It'll give you a third.
That is not a buffalo. That is a chicken. And it's $8.99 at Costco.
Well, there's something to be said for that too. So
yeah. All right, you want to hear some
capitalism
names?
Yeah, let's go. What do you like or don't like, man?
All right. So I like the org names a lot. So I love verbal.org because I love Whisper and voice AI technology. It's just growing huge and definitely the future, right? Like talking to things, giving back response. So Whisper, Verbal, anything audio related is going to be amazing. And Verbal is going to be a tough defense. You're not going to defend that very well as a brand. So that's going to be an issue. But in general, I like the name a lot. Backlinks, I love. That's still a market. Geo, SEO, all that stuff. Backlinks will always be valuable. It'll always be social proof. It'll always be search proof. Backlinks are going to continue to be a $100 million market for many, many years, in my opinion. So I think backlinks is a great one. Lots of money still in it.
Wasn't Verbal the guy in Usual Suspects?
Verbal Kent, man. You know what I'm saying? That's like, you know.
Yeah. It's been a while since I've seen that one, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's such a good movie.
Oh, it's great. It's one of the best.
Another one that I like, even though it's a .net, and I don't like .nets that much, but it's compliant.net, because if you've ever owned a business, the amount of posters that you get, the amount of emails that you get to make sure you're compliant in your, I think, PCI, whatever your credit cards, right? Like you get an email to be PCI compliant, to make sure that your routers and your internet are all compliant for credit card data to get you a lower rate, to make sure every poster in the business, you got to have a poster that says where the hospital is. You could print that shit off, but nope, they'll sell you for $99 a complete kit that you just put up on your wall. Yeah. So compliance is huge industry, and you can work off the debt net, I think, too, selling all that stuff. So those are three that I really like the names. The fun one, I think, is Heat Seeker. Like, mm-hmm. just a fun brand, can be anything. Heat means hot, obviously. It's a fun, that's my kind of brandable. I think those
cool travel brand.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot you could do with it. Heat Seeking Missile. So
that's it. I like you when you're out there running, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got the Heat Seeking Missile.
That's it. All right, cool. All right, Drew, what about you?
I mean, we've kind of touched on it all that you know, that's interesting, but yeah, I love Gluten Free, I love Fro. Fro's fun. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do with it, you know what I mean? But like, man, if I was starting a new business and Fro would work as a brand, first thing I'd do, I'd buy Fro.com. I get Afro Man as my spokesman. You know what I'm saying? He just went through a big lawsuit. He needs some money. You gotta support Afro Man. Afro Man, you know what I mean? He was he didn't let them, you know, he put accountability to the man.
Oh, dude, the battle hymn, that if anyone has not seen that, the Afro Man.
Yeah, you gotta go watch. Yeah, Afro Man made a whole political statement about being illegally searched and his money and his things seized over some false claims by local police.
And he took him to school too.
He took him to school.
So good.
And he dragged these police through the mud. And then they tried to sue his ass, and he won.
Yeah.
And then he was rapping in court. He's Afro Man. So anyways, first thing I do is FRO.com, Fro.com. I get Afro Man as my spokesman, and I'd be selling car insurance.
Yeah.
And
Not only that, they actually were playing the song in court because they sued him for like—
Or maybe frozen yogurt. You know what I mean? Car wash, frozen yogurt, doesn't matter. You got Afro Man and Fro.com. You could do, you know, the world is your oyster. And I'm only half joking. That's pretty much, you know, Backlinks, Shane said it, backlinks.org, huge name, but you probably want to go check that name hasn't been dragged through the mud.
Yeah, you know, the one name, so I've got two things to add. Well,
I'll tell you what, honestly, you know, the sleeper on this list is phonerecords.com.
Hmm.
Do you know how many people do a search for People Finder? You know, like using those things, like those things are just like SEO gold mines that, you know, the People Finder type websites, and phonerecords.com is like, it could be a banger.
So, well, I got two other things to talk about, and then we got to pretty much wrap up because we're running out of time. But the name I included was soarai.com, you know, soar like fly.
We own something just like that. We own, like, I think we own Sorai, S-O-R-A-I. So, okay. Then this one is S-O-A-R-A-I.
Right. The idea being that, you know, it's kind of like a keyword AI.com domain name, right?
Which more like a typo of Sora. But I think Sora got killed. I think Sora's dead.
Sora's dead. Yeah. There's no typo anymore.
But yeah, but what do you guys think about like keywordai.coms versus like soar.ai, which is the reason I was going to bring it up.
I mean, they sell, but it's, you know, everything's values and its ability to be replaced. And I don't even know where to start. Like if I would have hand registered all those, hell yeah. Like I would have hand registered thousands of them, but now you're starting to pay $600, $800 on the come that they're going to move from AI to that versus the keyword versus that is, You're number three on the list or four, but they do sell. They do. Anybody who hand registered them has done great.
Yeah. But, well, and I think that's a lot of what we've said about the .ai domains, and just, you know, like the key about any trend is you got to get in early. You know what I mean? So
look, it's a great name for a company, you know, even though who can't be soar.com that is looking for, wants to call themselves Soar in the AI world and looking for an alternative. And they're either going to be soar.com, soar.ai, Soar AI, right? And but again, like, what are you paying for it, right? I mean, hand register it, absolutely home run, right? But I'm not looking at the sheet, but you know, I'm sure
you're also third on the list, though, right? So if somebody has soar.com and they want an AI, they're probably going to try soar.ai. But if you're an AI company that wants to be called Sword AI, and there's already a company operating an AI on Sword, you don't go to the third, right? So
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Sword is a pretty common name. Like, I mean, I'll tell you, there's I mean, a domain that I'm involved with, which is Spark, right? I mean, you have Gemini Spark, you have
They're not all AI. Like, I'm talking about a trademark category. If you have the 35 category,
SOAR is such an incredible, wide, diverse brand, even within AI, that somebody would come for the third choice.
But could you form another company called SOAR AI if somebody owns the 35 or owns the trademark? Is that a wise move? Probably not.
But my point being, there's a lot of major.
How much is Spark? I love that. It's a great name.
But like Gemini is an incredible word that's like Google Gemini, but there's only one Gemini crypto. You're not going to be a crypto company called Gemini.
Yeah, but you have Bubba Spark. You have Anthropic, Gemini, and Meta, all with Spark in their name, like Spark AI names right now for their products. Like,
oh, I didn't
so
know
why
that.
Couldn't you, why couldn't, know. Yeah, so why couldn't you have that with SOAR? I mean, SOAR, there's no difference to me. Like,
yeah,
they're both amazing. So, I mean, again, the question is, I'm not looking at the sheet. What's the valuation on SOAR AI, JT, churned out here from your sources, Esteban?
Esteban has it at $52, right?
Okay, well, I'll take it.
Phrase.net has it from between 62 grand and 100 grand.
Right. Like, if you like that.
I'll take the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good point. And that's why I wanted to bring it up, because I think these names have obviously been, you know, getting traction and, you know, people have seen success with them. And I think it brings up this question of, would you rather have SOARAI.com or SOAR.AI?
Well, SOAR.com. You know,
as an auction person that goes through every auction, they always get bought. If they go expired, come to auction, and it's a decent keyword in AI, they never go to close out or pass through. They always get bought.
No, I mean, that's the thing. We're starting to see people. You know,
interesting. So SOAR.com, I didn't even know who owned it, right? It's owned by the Ancestry guys, the creators of Ancestry.com, SOAR AI Studio.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting.
Yeah. That is
wonder when they. So, you know, look, I mean, they're already using the word SOAR AI all over their SOAR.com, right? And I don't believe that they can box out the AI space from a trademark standpoint. No freaking way. Not with the word SOAR.
And these guys should have bought human.com from us when they had the chance.
Mm-hmm.
They certainly should have.
It's called a human-centered AI company.
Yeah, they certainly should have. But yeah. SOAR, in fairness, SOAR.com is pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
No, great name. But like, you're talking about ancestry.com, which is all about like human ancestry, right? And then to go to this human AI company, and they're promoting it as from the founders of everything
unlocking is like human potential with AI.
Feel human first, unlocking human potential. Like, they should have for sure bought human.com.
Yeah.
One of the greatest of all time.
That is what it is. But all right, human. Cool. All right. Last thing human. I'm going to bring up, and then we're going to do a quick around the horn and then call it for the show. NameJet. They released their new interface, the new site. So have you guys, has anybody messed with that? Or you guys just click
it? Yeah, I use it every day.
I played with it, yep.
You like the new one, the old one? What do you think?
Go ahead, Andrew. No, look, I've only played with it for a day or two because I was away, but like before the show. Everything... change is hard, and change takes getting used to, but I don't like it on the surface from a change standpoint, but I actually think it's a massive improvement I actually think it's going to end up being a big improvement. It just takes time to get adjusted. So when you're a creature of habit like me.
Shane, as a guy who spends many hours.
Yeah, every day. As a matter of fact, I was building my list this morning. Andrew hit it on the nose. You get used to a car wreck. If you use it every day, at least you know where the door is and the handles. Like, you just get used to it. So when it changed fonts, the first thing I was like, oh no, where's my normal pattern? Because I have a flow that I go through the auctions. Yeah, I like it. I think they're going to do really well. Adam did the same thing. Adam auctions were brutal to go through because they had logos, only logos. And now they've got it in list form, and they've got, they when they first brought it out, even Adam had, they didn't have the time to the end of the auction. Like, that's one of the most important things that I want to sort through. And Adam didn't have that. And I'm like, Darpin, add time to end of auction so that I know. And NameJet's the same way. They definitely thought this one out. JT, you and I know from the past that they've been trying to change for a long time, and for various reasons they didn't. So it's nice to see everybody coming together and having a more modern platform, because...
And obviously, full disclosure, I'm an Adam investor and board member, but like, one thing about, you know, Adam is they change. They can adapt and fix and amend and change faster on the fly than anybody. I mean,
Dynadot would be the only one that I say, like, Dynadot's engineering, but they think alike, like Todd and, you know, the owners set the personality of the company, right? That's plain and simple. And Kuykendall sets the personality of Spaceship and Darpin. But anyway, you're exactly right. Those two, like, Adam has a way of just throwing things out there and seeing if they do well. They're not afraid to let it burn and or take it away. And Todd is an engineering person. He wants to measure everything in engineering costs, but he'll listen, figure it out if it works, try. Like, he has big ears. Owners
that crazy, man. 11 million names I saw.
A million in a month. I mean,
yeah, they were like at 10 million. Yeah, exactly. Like a month.
Yeah, a million in a month. And that's, I mean, dude, we've all been in this industry a long time. I couldn't be happier for him. He's a great owner. He's a great person. He's worked hard. He's everything you want to see in a success story in our industry. So I'm super happy for him.
And look, Rick, but Rick's, when you think about this, right? How long has it taken these companies that are quote unquote got to that next level, right?
Yeah.
20 years, 18, you know, the time to success is just so much longer than.
It's a career.
Yeah, well, it's because then people don't, you know, they're, it's not in their, you know, they don't see it, right? So they don't know, you know, and a lot of times people don't find out about things until they're successful, because that's how, you know, part of the success. And we used to talk about this in the music space, and, you know, overnight successes take 10 years, right? It's like, you know, it's just, they sound like overnight successes because, oh, I heard of them for the first time a week ago and now they've got a number one hit. But it's like, you know of them because they're being successful now.
They were making TikTok videos 8 years ago, you know. That's like or whatever.
At the nursery, they see all these great greenhouses. They don't know the first year I slept in the closet, a big giant closet in the bed for the first 6 months to save money. I mean, I didn't have any money to do that. They don't see that part of it. And I'm sure Rick and Todd and DARPA, I mean, DARPA and said, hey, we're still not super profitable. We're still, we're barely making money, if not any money at all. So yeah, it's great to see the success, whether it's financial or just growth overall in all these companies.
Even Adam, though, I think, you know, we're looking, you know, 9 years in, right? Yeah. So from, you don't
and
realize.
They feel like the new people still, right? Nine years. So that's why I said.
I mean, most private equity lifeline funds are 7-year timelines, right? Then they're over and they shut it down, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is three times that in some cases. So they wouldn't, you know, we'll see how, we'll see if the private equity side of Namecheap.
Rolls.
Oh, dude, you know, we saw it with when web.com got acquired by private equity. It's, you know, it's an interesting.
Well, as a user, you're going to feel it. There's going to be one less chip in every bag. I can tell you that.
One less chip in every bag. One less.
I told this on the Jimmy John's. When Jimmy sold, the first thing they did, so Jimmy was known for going to the potato people and saying, I want the middle chip, right? You know, potatoes have all different sizes. The middle chip's the biggest chip. He would pay extra to make sure he had the biggest chips in the middle. First thing they do, I don't care where the chip comes from. Now all the chips are this big. The third thing they did is take one chip out. So there's one less chip across millions of bags. The fourth thing they did is change the menu so the best profitable ones are at the top of the menu so that they would order the most profitable. And the last thing they did is change the size of the cup, kept the shape, but made it smaller. So it looks exactly the same, but it's 1 ounce less.
Wow.
And look, we all know, you know, those of us who've done deals, we know this, right? Like, Drew, you're going to agree with this, I think. I mean, you're talking about a one word premium, you know, super category or whatever domain with a private equity shop versus a VC, right? I mean, you know, no matter how obvious it might be and how much the private, maybe Callaway, by the way, is owned, but was owned by PE at one point. I don't know before, you know, in the process, yeah, but
it would track
it all, you know, the PE guys, they don't care about anything, but, you know, maximize profits, cut costs, don't spend less. And the venture guys are, you know, we just,
in all facets, anything of value goes.
Right.
Anything they won't notice. They start with what won't they notice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't want to say what it is, but, you know, you and I had a discussion, Drew, a few months ago about a domain that you sold for incredibly successfully where, you know, it didn't make sense intuitively, but it's PE-owned company. And they're like, well, the PE guys don't care. They just wanted to maximize their assets, right? And even if it means selling your exact match brand, right?
Yeah.
Whereas the venture guys, right, are throwing just silly money right now at everything, right? And it's all about growth, 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 fast, fast, fast. Every advantage you can get, having the domain's an advantage, right? So if we got to spend $5 million for it, we'll spend $5 million for it, because without it, we're not going to grow fast enough.
And I think, look, it's very hard for me. You know, I'm always a little bit, I don't know. I don't want to say pessimistic, but I'm always concerned when we're in a crazy bull market as we are, that like the bottom's going to fall out, right? But at the end of the day, you look at, say, Europe, UK, and the United States, and you say, in China and Japan, and you say, you know, there legitimately is only one path, and that path is growth at any cost. There is no other path. And so they will do literally whatever it takes to spur growth. And right now, what they're putting their chips in, pun intended, is AI. And they're hoping that that's going to bring the efficiencies and the innovation and the growth that pulls us out of this death spiral that we are due to expanding debt. And so in that environment where you know that is the trajectory, nothing goes in a straight line, but there is no choice. I am slowly coming around to the idea that even though I do think there's probably a major correction happening, even though, you know, there's a lot of trouble signs ahead, even though I think labor markets are going to suffer, I think they're gonna get growth. They're gonna do whatever it takes, and they will get growth. And if that's the case, you know, you gotta, if you are a VC, you gotta be throwing money at your companies, making sure they got the best tools in the toolbox. If you're an investor, you gotta be going long. You gotta have to, you know, not.
I'm glad blindly, you're coming over. Come on in, Drew. Come into my arms. Let me take you. Okay. Bring you.
But I am slowly warming up to this idea that, you know what? As much as I feel like, you know, I'm gonna kind of sit here and wait for the bottom to fall out and maybe get a better entry point. I don't know. Even if that happens, I don't know how low it's gonna go. I think that there's no upside to the downside. Meaning, if you're waiting for the bottom, if you're looking for, hoping for a bottom, I don't think it can go very far, because nobody has a choice. Not the Treasury, not the Fed, not the U.S. government. Nobody has a choice. They have to create growth. So no matter what happens, whether it is the money printer bazooka, whether it's rates, whether it's, you know, the White House buying companies, whether it's whatever it's going to be, I promise you there's growth. No matter what, it doesn't matter. They will start World War III if that's what it takes to create growth. Whatever it takes, those are the only things that matter. Remember those words, whatever it takes. What was it? Was it Mario Draghi that said it in 2009? And they asked him, they said, you know, what will the central bank do if the banks fail? I forget what the question was. And he said, you know, we'll resolve it. And they said, well, what are you going to do? And he just looked at them straight face and he said, whatever it takes. And it was, that was the moment. The moment that Mario Draghi said, whatever it takes. He was the head of the European Central Bank at the time. And he said, whatever it takes. And from that moment on, it was up and to the right. And it basically hasn't stopped. Right? You've had a few bumps in the road. But basically, that moment was when we redefined what financial markets were. And I think,
JT, the name of the show is Whatever It Takes.
All right, whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. All right, let's go. It was going to be Party in the Back.
Yeah. But I think you should migrate over to Whatever It Takes.
Yeah. Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. So anyways, that is all very positive for domains. I think it's ultimately going to be very positive for any company that's, you know, has growth, innovation, and
I'll put it quickly, is you have all Americans putting 11% or more of their paycheck into the stock market, and the world cannot have them all going broke by taking a 50% haircut. So they won't allow it. Yeah. Right on the lawn. The other thing that's very hard to swallow, and I know, Drew, you have trouble with this, but you're learning, is sometimes you can't afford not to participate in things you don't agree with or even think that are going. Like, to not be an AI, whether you think it's going to be, you had to participate in some form if you wanted to get the returns of the current market. And the other thing is 50% could happen. But it's not going to be 50% of one. It's going to be 50% of four, which gets you to two, which is going to be twice as much as you thought. That's the thing. So everybody gets excited.
Hold on. Back up. Just give me this little.
Yeah. Okay. So like on Micron, everybody said it's going to take a 50% haircut at some point. Undoubtedly.
Yeah.
But they set that at 200. It's now 1,000.
Yeah.
So if it takes a 50% haircut, it's 500, and I'm still up 2.5 times. So now right now at 1,100, I have to take an 80% haircut for you to be right.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be right, because it's never going to take an 80% haircut as long as we have a computer or a robot. Like, the markets will fall in certain cases. There will be industries that do not reach their potential or do what you think they're going to do.
Yeah.
But if you get that 5% right that I started earlier, you're buying the new house in Buena Vista. you're gonna have nice.
And that goes with anything. It's the 80-20 rule, but maybe it's 90-10, right? Like, I mean, there's gonna be AI companies, you know. I have a friend, client, who's CMO of a large series pre-IPO, one of the bigger AI companies in the space, enterprise level customer service. And she was like, you know, we used to go into large corp enterprise clients, and it would be us and one other. Now there's seven of us pitching an RFP, and there's no way there's room for more than like maybe two, right? So we're going to see, you know, we're certainly going to see, you know, mass 80%, 80-20 rule, 80% of ships sink at some level, including the market, stocks, but
no
token.
Doubt.
But obviously, you know, that to me, I mean, that is, you know, an venture, right? I mean, their model's set up for that. If 80% sink, but there's one Anthropic, you know, it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
Or so, you know, as long as they were in that one Anthropic that, you know, or SpaceX or similar, right? So it's all about, you know, it's all about, you just got to, if you're not in, if you're sitting on the sidelines,
yeah,
you're fucked.
You have to participate. And there's a reason they adjust the S&P and the NASDAQ 100. They're always adding the companies that are adding the most growth to that index. So that's, you know, they're saying they'll do whatever it takes. Well, whatever it takes is tossing out the one that's not meeting the growth requirement and a new one, so that it always hits. Like, you're always hearing about this one being moved in and this one being moved out. And so, again, it's... I think it's one of the most exciting times in our life. There will definitely be some of the most biggest crashes of our time too, but that's what comes with things like this, right? When the cars came out, there were like 50 people making cars, but 20, 30 years later, there were 7, 6. So we'll have the same thing. Like, but I think opportunity, we all make a living on opportunity and being ahead on opportunity. and you'd be silly not to at least try and pick your opportunity here. Drew just happened to pick his on fancy golf carts. And I invested in a timing company for races. Like, just to throw that out there, I'm pretty excited. A company that, you know, you do a 5K that Andrew does, or a big long race, and for the watcher, you don't get to see anything. Like, you see a little marker of a person running. I think there's seven people for every person running that are paying attention to what you're doing. So I think it's pretty exciting to have new timers and cameras and AI and live tracking of someone doing a race or an event. It's pretty cool. So again, lots of opportunities. We see the decks, right? Guys, we get to see all the things that people are trying to build and trying to sell you. Pretty awful stuff out there, pretty intriguing stuff, and some pretty good stuff.
Yep.
I think you're 100% right, man. And we shall see. At the end of the day, those that make it, they'll do whatever it takes. So
whatever it takes.
All right. Well, look, we're pretty much up on time. Does anybody have anything else that they want to chime in with? I mean, normally we go around the horn. Anybody have anything that they haven't mentioned or talked about?
No.
Good.
Boom.
I think we're Billy's in for an epic edit here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, there's actually not a whole lot to edit, you know, which is good. So, but he does have to sit through the whole episode a couple times as he goes through the process, and he's going to be like, 2 hours, really?
Yeah.
But hey, great stuff. Much appreciated. So thank you guys for all being here. To the audience, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Hope that you made it through the entire episode. If you did, congratulations. You get to watch the next one for free. And you can even watch this one again for free if you want. So, So thank you guys so much for tuning in. And we appreciate y'all. And I think that's it. So with that, we're going to get going. And we'll see everybody next time here on Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Peace out, everybody. We will see you soon.